I'm excited about this because this is probably the number one question as preachers we have asked more than any other question that you ask. And people say, Cricket, what is it that God wants me to do? What is it my purpose? What is my calling? A lot of people, what is my destiny? And we spent several weeks, the beginning of this year, talking about what you were put here on earth to do. I want to talk about it a little bit different. I'm going to take a lot of it out of Mike Murdoch's book, Seven Signposts. Because you've got to know that there's a destiny connected to your life. And when we use those words destiny and we use those words, you know, calling, and we use those church words a lot of times people get lost. We're going to use the word tonight, assignment. What is your assignment? What were you really put here for? Because you need to know what you were put here for. How many of you guys have ever seen anybody that's extremely happy? It's like their life is going in a direction, and it's like they have the Midas touch. Whatever they go after, they're successful in. And when they're successful in it, they're happy and they seem fulfilled and they're content. Whether they're going through a rough time or even when they're going through a great time, they're just content. Paul said it like this: I'm happy when I have a lot. I'm happy when I have a little. And the reason Paul was that way was because he had found his assignment, found why God had created him and placed him there, then, and to do what he was supposed to do. And the truth is, we all have assignments. You were born and created with an assignment on your life. It's not by accident. It's not by random. It's not by luck of the draw. You are not just a random work of the cosmos. And, you know, we are not here out of existence, out of a big bang or anything like that. You were here because God has placed things into assignment. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, for every purpose, there is a time and a season. So really, God calls it like this. In the Bible, he says, you're a purpose. Because when he's talking about people there, because then he kicks into saying this: there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time. He starts talking about living things. And he called them purposes. You're a purpose. And if you're a purpose, then that means your life has a reason for existence and a reason to be here. But the sad thing about it is most people spend their entire life going through life just trying to make it from daylight to dark, or make it from Monday to Friday, or make it from January to December and just get by. But if you don't understand your purpose, that's all you'll ever do. There's a statistic out that says 70% of people hate their job. And if I asked how many of you in here this morning or this evening were one of those 70, we would all probably raise our hands and say, I hate my job. And the reason you hate it is because, I'm going to be honest with you, that's not what your purpose is to do. You say, well, Cricket, what am I supposed to do? The truth of the reality is most people go through their entire lives not understanding what their assignment is. And so what takes place is a lot of them don't find out till they're in their latter years of life. So they spend the rest of their life feeling like they're playing catch up because they think they got to make up for the years that they didn't know what their assignment was. And so they burn themselves out in their latter years, and they're even twice as less effective because they don't understand their assignment. Now, I don't know specifically what each one of your assignments are, because that only comes from God. And that only comes from within what God's put in you. But what we're going to talk about is, like Mike Murdoch calls, signs or signposts. We're going to talk about clues. There's hints to what your assignment is, what you're here for. But the reason why you need to find it is this: you're never going to be completely happy. You're never going to be completely fulfilled. You're never going to feel like it all works together. You're never going to feel like you fit in. You're never feel like you've accomplished or you have great value until you find that assignment. Because everything about you was put together in a way for that assignment to be fulfilled. Several months ago when we were talking about ways, I had a tool up here. And I didn't bring the tool, but it was a tool. And nobody really knew what that tool was, but that tool was created for a specific job and a specific task. But if you don't know what that is, then you could misuse that tool And you could break that tool, because I've misused that tool before. I've used tools for hammers that were never meant to be hammers. I have used, you know, tools for measuring things by moving them because I didn't have my tape. I've misused tools many times, and they wouldn't bring the value they were supposed to bring because they weren't used for that. But when you use a tool the way it was supposed to be used, man, it makes everything easier. The first clue to your assignment is this. You are an answer to a problem. Every assignment is an answer to a problem. God put you here because you are an answer. You are someone's answer to their prayer. You are someone's answer to their situation. You are someone's answer to their circumstances. You are a problem's answer. A lot of times we feel like, well, I'm the problem. Well, that's because you haven't found your assignment. When you find your assignment, you become the answer. Everything that's wrong about you in the past, when you get into the assignment, or another churchy word to say that is, the perfect will of God for your life becomes everything right about you. All right, let's talk about Joseph just for a second. Joseph was a dreamer, but every time he dreamed, it got him in trouble. Everything that was wrong with him. His dreams made his brothers hate him. His dreams made his brothers dislike him. His dreams made his father not trust him. His dreams made all this craziness in his life. And so everything that was wrong with him, once he got in assignment, became right with him. It was a dream, an interpretation of dreams that took him out of a prison into a palace. It was him being able to interpret and understand dreams that took him from not just out of a prison to a palace, but to be able to save an entire world at that time because the famine hit the known world. And then it was also able to take his family and take them out of a farmhouse and put them into a palace. Everything that's been wrong with you up to this point, when you get on assignment, becomes right with you. And so a lot of people spend their whole life trying to fix what's wrong with them. You got to understand, when you get in your assignment, it is such a necessity that you find this thing out that you were never going to make it work without it. Everything that was wrong with Zacchaeus became right with Zacchaeus when he got to the place. When you read in Luke, the Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, that means that was in a place. It didn't say a place or got to the spot on the street or was walking down the road. It says the place. That place had an assignment to it. Because when he got to, if I say go get in a car out there, you could go out there and not know which car to get in, correct? But if I say go get in the blue car, there's only one blue car out there, that's a specific, certain thing. The Bible says in Luke that Jesus got to the place. And when he got to the place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus in the tree. And the Bible goes into explanation. Why was Zacchaeus in the tree? The reason Zacchaeus was in the tree, the Bible says, because he was of low stature. Now, you know he got beat up a lot of times in school. He got made fun of, called all kind of names and all kind of, because we even sing songs funny about him. Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man. Everything that was wrong with him became right with him when he got to the place of assignment. And the assignment for him was for him to turn his entire city toward Jesus. Had he not been small, had he not been of little stature, had he not had a desire to see Jesus that day, being willing to climb the tree. You know, in my life, many of you guys know, some of you may not, like that, I have a lot of what was taught to me for long, long periods of time. I mean, that I have learning disabilities. I'm dyslexic. I'm ADD. I have about a third grade reading level. I was in special ed most of my school life. College and learning is extremely difficult. That's why I always apologize when I'm reading. And you don't realize it, but before I read in church, I probably read that scripture 50 times trying to prepare myself to sound like I can read just a little bit before I get in front, because I have all these, what they say, learning disabilities wrong with me. And for years, I allowed everything that was wrong with me to define me in a way that would keep me out of my assignment. But for those that do know my history, that when I finally realized that everything that was wrong with me was right with me, When I went to college, out of five guys, we had a big house, and I was the only one that would get up on Saturday mornings at 6 o'clock, get my bowl of cereal, and jump on the couch and watch cartoons. All the rest of my college roommates were sleeping in till lunch, and they'd all make fun of me because I don't know why, but I loved cartoons. When I went to movies, all the way until I was married and had children, I saw every cartoon movie that came into the theaters, not because of it, except that I liked them. I like cartoons better than I like action movies. Now, that sounds odd and weird for a grown man. As a matter of fact, you would probably say he's got sugar in his tank if you knew that about me growing up. But the thing about it, I just liked it. So there were times I thought, what is wrong with me in this? You know what I'm saying? And I even thought, what's wrong with me? But the thing about it is, see, when I got into my assignment and I got to a place where I realized that God could use me to be a children's pastor, do you know what I spent 17 years of my life doing? 17 years of my life, I began to teach the Word of God at a third grade reading level every time I taught it. How was I able to? Did I have to dumb it down? Absolutely not. For me to hit third grade reading level, I had to smart it up in my case. Everything wrong with me became right with me. And not only did I get to that point to do those things, I got to travel the world doing it. There was a point that I had to preach to kindergartners three different times in a two-week period, but I had to do all three times in Hawaii. So it was cheaper for them to put me up in a hotel on the Big Island in Hawaii and leave me there for 2 weeks to be able to preach three times to kids while I was there than for me to fly back and forth. So they just stuck me in a hotel in Hawaii because everything that was wrong with me became right with me. Your assignment is everything that was wrong with you. When you get into your assignment, becomes everything that is right with you. So tonight we're going to talk just a minute about your assignment. First of all, you have to understand that there is an assignment. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says this, "Before I was formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." All right, this is God talking to Jeremiah. Now, what you got to understand is God don't play favorites. He talks all the way through it. The Bible saying that, you know, He creates each person. He involves Himself in each person as much as He does anyone. God did not love David any more than He loved Saul. A lot of people think, well, it was so unfair for God and with David and Saul. How many of you guys have ever thought that? That, you know, God liked David more than He liked Saul. How many of you guys have thought that in your process before? When I'd read the story, I thought, God, you were so unfair to Saul. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you didn't even give him a chance. He was blowing it, and David still blew it. But what? Do you know what the difference between David and Saul was this? The Bible never said Saul's heart was after God. But it said David's heart was after God, a man after God's own heart. So we read that thinking that God made David like someone who had a heart like God. That's not what it says. It said that David was a man after God's own heart. What do you think David spent his time chasing after? God's heart. You know what Saul spent his time chasing after? People's praise and people's thoughts. That's why he disobeyed God when he paraded that king in front of the whole nation. Because this is what he thought. He thought, you know, they'll think I'm great. He wanted people's approval. David wanted God's approval. So God's not a respecter of people. You've got to understand. Because a lot of times when we see people, and we see people in areas of success, or we see people in areas of happiness or fulfillment, maybe we think that maybe God loves them more than he loves. No, what happens is this. You need to worry about how much you love God. Because what if you look at people, what you need to understand is God's not a respecter. The Bible says the gifts of God are without repentance. That means this. God created you for a purpose with an assignment. And whether or not you ever turn toward God and fulfill your assignment, He's not going to take the opportunity for you to fulfill it away from you. So He gifts some people in business, and He gifts some people in talents, and He gifts some people to do it. But He will never take people's gifts from them. He said the gifts of God are without repentance. Whether you turn to God or not, He's not going to take, because He's going to wait till your last day, hoping that you will fulfill the calling or the assignment that's on your life. That's why you can have very successful ungodly people, because they're using their gifts and their talents not for their assignment. But the Bible says your gifts will make a way for you and put you before great men. Now, is it depending on what you think are great men can be the fulfilling of your life, but you're not going to be happy. That's why you've got millionaires jumping off bridges. You've got, you know, I was just reading about a couple today in California, a husband and wife that owned they were a real estate agency company, and they had started on there, and they've done $1 billion worth of commercial real estate sales. He shot her and shot himself yesterday. And his three teenage kids were at home. Makes no sense. If job or money or that success could be make you happy, I'm telling you, nothing makes you happy. Nothing works right in your life until you find your assignment, till you know what God has created you, and the Bible says here, has formed you for. Here it says, before I formed thee in your belly. God was the one involved in putting the pieces in your life together that makes you like you. You like what you like. You talk like you talk like. You have everything about you the way up because God was involved even before you were formed. And the Bible says that even before he formed you, it says he knew you. That means he knew who you really are. Not what you can do or what you could be, because he knew who you really are. Then he put what you could do and be around the you so that you could accomplish your assignment that he's put you here to do. And it says this, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet among the nations. All right, so this is what he's saying. He said that he knew you, then he formed you. In other words, he knew you, then what he did was he put you together with all your giftings, talents, and on your personalities and everything about you, and then he formed you. Then the Bible says he sanctified you. Now, that's really important for this reason. Because that doesn't mean everyone is sanctified. What it means is he paid the price for your sanctification. And those that choose to get in their assignment, doesn't matter how many mistakes they've made in their past, it doesn't disqualify them from doing what God put them here to do. He sanctifies you no matter how many mistakes you've made the minute you get into the assignment of your life. That means not only is everything that was wrong with you right with you, everything you've ever done wrong is now right. You need to understand that completely. Everything you've ever done wrong, when you fully get into the assignment of God for your life, now becomes done right. Go back to Joseph's life. All right, his brothers threw him in a pit out of pure sin. When you flip over to the end of Joseph's life, this is what he said. So they said, "We're sorry, Joe." He said, "Don't be sorry." He said, "For what the devil meant for bad, God has made or turned," one translation said, "for good." So every mistake you've ever made, when you get into the assignment of God, makes every success you will ever have. So you've got to understand that about your assignment. Now, we're going to jump real quick into Matthew chapter 21, verse 2. And we're going to read it in this because my mind works better in these ways. All right? Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a, that's King James, all right? And so, if you have a problem with that word, just replace it with cricket. That will work, okay? It says, you will find a cricket tied and a colt with her, loose them and bring them to me. Let's go to another verse. And if any man say unto thou, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All right, that's that King James Version, but this is what it says. It says, Jesus said, go to this place and you'll find a donkey, and this donkey is going to be tied, this in Matthew says, with its mother. One translation says you're going to find an unbroken donkey. One translation says you're going to find a wild A-double-S. One translation says you'll find a never-ridden donkey. All right, I want to point this out to you. Jesus was not there. They did not have telephones. I don't know what they used in postal circumstances, but you need to know this. Jesus knew right where that donkey was without ever him having to show up there to find out. And he knew what day that donkey was going to be tied on. He knew where it was going to be tied and what it was going to be sent and those that he was going to be tied with. That tells me this. Time is not random with God. Because if it was random with God, Jesus would not have known this was a young donkey. But he knew before he'd ever been there, there was going to be a young donkey tied with its mother to a fence. I'm telling you this. You're not here randomly. It's not by chance you live or you're in El Dorado, Arkansas, just by any random moment in 2017. God is involved in time. And He launched you, just like it says in Ecclesiastes, for every purpose, there is a season and a time. For every purpose. You are a purpose. See, a lot of times we allow the enemy to get us caught up in this thought pattern that, you know what I'm saying, we're just random and, you know, why am I born now instead of being born 300 years ago in the dark ages and having, because you have an assignment and your assignment was not 300 years ago. Your assignment is today. God is involved in today. And when God put you here, born wherever you were born, in whatever elements or whatever circumstance, you can think you had control of it all along, making your decisions, and that's why you're here now and there. You can think you're in control of that all you want to, but you need to understand this. The Bible said that He knew your end before your beginning. That means when He was creating you, when you were formed, when He knew you, the Bible says before you were formed in your mother's womb, so He knew you. He knew what you were capable of. He knew what your heart would be. He knew what you would be able to do. Then it says He formed you, put His all of your talents and everything in your life around in your mother's womb. And then He was involved in every single one of your days up to the point where you're sitting here right now. You have no idea what God has already moved out of your future. Some of you know already how many times God's already saved your life, even when you didn't deserve it. Some of you already know the trouble God's already gotten you out of, even though you were in the midst of doing wrong. Can God be involved when people are doing wrong? Absolutely. He knew your end before your beginning. Every time you get up out of bed, God already knows what that day is going to have. And God is working on your behalf, coming together, making His assignment available to you. And He's doing everything possible in your life to help you see it be revealed unto you and for you to be able to focus in and see if you will look for the assignment of your life. Now you say, well, Cricket, can people miss their assignment? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the Bible says this, somebody's going to praise His name. And if you don't do it, the Bible says, rocks and trees will do it. God's will be done. But God's plan, His heart, His desire is for you to fulfill your assignment. Because the truth of whether you believe it or not, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be fulfilled. God wants you to be enjoyed. God wants you, the Bible says, to have a quiet and peaceable life is what God's plan is for you. God says this, that when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, His work in your life is not to make you guilty or make you feel bad. His work in your life is to bring righteousness, peace, and joy. He wants your life to be fulfilled, you to be happy. He wants you to make a difference. So you've got to understand that, see that donkey? It was not by random. God knew that donkey was there. The day that He needed the donkey. And the Bible says that He sent disciples. Why didn't God just make the donkey untie Himself and come this way? Because God uses people. You need to understand, He sent His disciples to get the donkey. Because God uses people to fulfill His purposes on this earth. You need to know this about your assignment. Your assignment is connected for you to fulfill a purpose of God's will on this earth. There's assignment, and you say, "Well, Cricket, yeah, I can't see because I was a preacher's kid. I'm telling you, for a long time, I could not see how I could ever be happy serving God. But I'm here to tell you, every day I serve the Lord, I'm happier than I've ever been. And I'm not just saying that. I could be doing a million other things in my life, and I could, you know what I'm saying? I came to many crossroads over the last 20 years to change directions or to do something else or even go into, say, kids' entertainment and those kind of things. But none of them bring me joy like doing what I know God's called me to do. A lot of us don't know what we're called to do because we're so busy just doing. We miss what... Let me ask you, if everybody in here had a job that paid the exact same, say everybody in here made $10 an hour doing what they wanted to do. So if a doctor made $10 an hour, or say a lawyer made $10 an hour, or a nurse made $10 an hour, or a preacher made $10, if every job in the world paid $10 an hour, which job would you choose to do? If you could do no more than $10 an hour, what would you choose to do? A lot of times we think we do what we do because we need the money. And the truth of the matter is a lot of us do what we do because we need the money, because we really don't know what else there is to do. So we go through life hating our jobs or hating what we do, or even to the point of hating getting up. So then what we do is we do what we hate so long that we finally get to a place where we don't want to hate everything we do anymore. So then we'll go out and blow it out and live loose for a while and just try to have a little fun. But then it brings such heartache in our life that then again we miss out on what God's assignment is. So then we find ourselves trying to come back and get things right again, so that we can at least try to find peace again. Truth is, what's God's called, you will never, I can never tell you what you were called to do. You can only discover it. Mike Murdoch said it like this. He said, you know, this microphone could never tell me what it was supposed to do. But the manufacturer created this. And when the manufacturer created it, now we can discover what it can be used for. This does not make a very good hammer, but it makes an amazing microphone. You can't be told what you're supposed to, but you can discover what you're... The Bible says He gives you the desires of your heart. That's not a bass boat that you've been seeing in the window for a long time. Although we want those things. That's your wants. He gives you the desires of your heart. In other words, the wants on the inside of you. He gave you the wants. So our job is to find the clues to those wants. All right, here the Bible says that, you know, the Lord found this donkey. I mean, Lord knew this donkey was there, and He sent people to get them. I want you to know something. Here's a clue to your assignment. God will always send you people to help you fulfill it. Jensen Franklin wrote a book called The Right People, Right Place, Right Plan. Anybody ever read that? It's amazing. See, Joseph had a call on his life. And when Joseph had this call on his life, he couldn't make it happen. So God sent a butler, a baker, and a Pharaoh into his life. The butler was somebody that can open doors that you can't open. A baker, somebody that puts ingredients together and makes something out of what you have. And then the Pharaoh, somebody that's always willing to write a check to see it fulfilled. And you got to know this. See, Jesus, when it comes to your assignment, He's not expecting you to do it alone. He expects you to get into a place where other people can. You be where God put you, and God will send the people around you to help you. That donkey was where he was supposed to be, tied to that fence, and God sent the disciples to get him out of that. A lot of people want to fulfill their assignment on their own. You need to know you're not going to fulfill your assignment without the church. It's not going to do it. People think you're going to live for God. Yeah, I'm going to live for God without the church. You can, but you're not going to fulfill your destiny or your assignment. Because the Bible says He put each one of us as a part of a body. Again, remember we talked about each part of the body is to solve a problem. If you're not a part of the body, you'll spend most of your time trying to solve problems that can't be solved by you. See, an eye is in the body to solve the problem of being able to see. An ear is in the body to be able to solve the problem of being able to hear. But if I took this ear off of this body, this ear could not solve my problem of not being able to hear. Your assignment is connected to you meeting a need or being the solution to a problem. But it doesn't happen without you being connected. And God will send the right people. If you're in the right place, God will send the right people to help you fulfill your assignment in your life. Because there are things that you can't do on your own. That donkey couldn't untie himself. Or he would have, because the Bible in one translation says he was a wild donkey. Wild donkeys don't like to be tied up. And so if he could have got loose, I can tell you this, I would not be serving the Lord today, and I probably either would be in prison or I would be dead by now, had God not have put my parents in my life. Because He knew it was going to take them strict, them hard, and them protecting my life the way they did for me to fulfill my assignment. You know how many years I kicked them every time they got close to me? Like a wild donkey would do. Every time they tried to do something, but they kept me tied to that fence until God was able to show me my assignment. Or really, God was able to break me. You understand, that donkey wasn't any good for God until it was broken. Breaking a horse is where they take it, one that's never had anything on its back, and it completely lived for itself, and it lived what its idea was free, but it was actually purposeless. And they put a weight on its back. And when it put a weight on that back, the thing would kick and squirm and kick and balk and all that, trying to get that weight off. But eventually when it settles down and realizes, you know what, this is not to hurt me, this is to help me. And he allows himself to be what they call broken in the horse training thing. He allows himself to be broken. Then the donkey comes to a place where it can be used. See what you've been going through up to this point? God's been trying to break you. Because your assignment is connected to you being to a place where God can use you. It's not about you. See, we think Joseph, when we read about Joseph in the Bible and him fulfilling his destiny, we read about him at the first of the story and we think Joseph never made a mistake. You know the mistake Joseph made? He didn't ever get into sexual sins. He didn't ever get into, you know, stealing sins. He didn't get into lie sins. When you read the story of Joseph, you think he got everything right. Let me tell you the sin Joseph made. Joseph was extremely selfish. Because in the first of his life, he would read those, God would give him a dream, show him his, and he always made it back about him. Y'all are going to bow down to me. That's what he saw. In both of the two dreams, he saw it was other people serving him. He never saw it for what it really ended up being. He never saw it for God putting him into a position to be able to help his family when his family had no other help. It was never about him in those dreams. It was always about God saving that nation. But because Joseph kept his eyes on him, God couldn't use him. But after Joseph had went through all that stuff that Joseph went through, he became a broken man. You can read it in Psalms. The Bible says his soul became as iron. And he wept. It finally broke him. And when it broke him, God said, I can use him. And I know he broke because when you're reading in the story of Joseph, the next time he heard a dream, he didn't think, what can I get out of it? He interpreted the dream, nothing to do with him. He interpreted the dream to do with, you know what, there's going to be 7 years of good, and then there's going to be 7 years of bad. And if we will take the 7 years of good, and we will do it right through the 7 years of bad, no one will have to starve. It was about saving other people's lives. He never asked to be put in charge of everything. Pharaoh put him in charge of everything. He quit being selfish. See, a lot of times we don't find our assignment because we think it's about us. You will not fulfill your assignment until you come to the point that everything about your assignment is about other people's success. Do you understand that? Everything about your assignment is for other people to succeed. Jesus' complete assignment was to come and die on the cross. Did he get anything out of it? Absolutely not. His entire purpose for his life was to save other people. Do you know what made Solomon such a success? Say the wisdom of God. Why did God give him that wisdom? The Bible said God gave him that wisdom because he was willing to go farther than any man had ever went to worship God. He killed 1,000 animals when he was only told to kill one. He went all, so God said, ask what you want, I give it to you. He said, I want wisdom. But then Solomon again asked for something else that you would think would sound selfish. He said, Lord, make me famous. And we think that sounds selfish. Do you know God did make him famous? Why did God answer that? Because it was part of his assignment. He said, Lord, make me famous so that. That's what he said. So the same thing he said when God said, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom so that I will be able to know how to rule your people. It was about other people. And see, then later on in his life, he said, Lord, make me famous so that when others see me, I will be able to show them you. It was never about him. And God answered those assignments. Your assignment, a clue to your assignment is this. Other people will get success out of it. It can't be about your success. I'm telling you, and I go through success. It's time. I go through situations like this. I'm always wanting, you know, for years, I'm like, God, make me a good preacher. Make me a good preacher. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't want to be a great preacher because of other people. I wanted to be a great preacher so people would think I'm a good preacher. Finally, I come to terms with preaching is not about what people think. Preaching is about what people get. And until I get to a place where I want you to have more than what I want you to think about me, I'm not going to be a great preacher. Until I want you to succeed more than I want me to succeed, I won't be fully in my assignment. We got several more assignments, but I just want to leave this with you. The next thing about this donkey was this. He could not be used until he was untied. You need to know this. You will never make it into your assignment as long as you have bondage in your life. I'm just telling you the truth. You can be the greatest preacher, but as long as you have bondage in your life, God can't release the destiny that He wants to, because the Bible says He can't give you anything you can't handle. He can't release the plans as long as there is bondage in your life. As long as that thing that God's been dealing with you on remains in your life and you think it's okay that nobody knows, or maybe people know but people can overlook, as long as that can remain in you, I want you to know you can't be used to the fullest of your potential. The donkey had to be loosed before it could be set for, before it could be used. But the good news was God always sends people to help loose you. That's again the value of the church, the value of friends. God sent His disciples to untie. If you're trying to loose yourself, you're not going to be able to do it, because you've been trying to get free for this thing for a long, long time. And it's still got you. Until you get to a place where you let somebody else put their hands in your life, and you let somebody else reach into your life and put their hands on your rope, and you let somebody else begin to work with your ropes and work with your seat, you're not going to get free. And if you don't get free, you're not going to get into your assignment. I tell you, I'm so thankful I have friends now that'll say, "Cricket, you need to quit talking so critically about people." I love that. Because if I don't have those people in my life, I'm never going to reach my fulfillment of my assignment. My mom told me that yesterday, "Cricket, you need to settle that." Because I was complaining about something. We were had a staff meeting going on, and we were dealing about some things, and I thought I had a right to say what I was about to say. And the truth of the matter is, she said, "Cricket, you have no right to say that." Made me mad for a minute. And then I sat back and said, "You know what? God sends disciples into my life to loose me from things that have been holding me back." You know, when it comes to logging, what they used to do in moving logs down rivers, what they would do is they would throw all these logs in the river and they would let them float down the river. But what it would take usually is usually just one log in the front of that thing to get in the wrong position. When that one log would get in that wrong position, it would twist and everything would slam in. And when everything was slammed in, they would usually send one of the loggers up to the highest point. And he would look down and he would study the positions of the logs. And if he could find the one that was crippling the whole bunch, they could, instead of spending hours and men are straightening them all out, because he had a better vantage point than the other ones, he could tell them which one to get. They could go pull that one log out and it would release all the rest to go on and flow. I'm so glad I got log watchers in my life. And the minute you get to a place where you won't let people speak into your life, and they say this, if you're the only person, if you're the only one in your group that people come to for advice, then you need a new group. If you're the smartest one in the chicken yard, you need to get out of the chicken yard. You need people that can speak freely. And the thing about it is, you need to grow up to when they do, you don't get upset. Because your destiny rides on weather, because the truth of the matter is, we're so involved in it sometimes that we can't even see the nose that's right on the front of our face, and it's the very thing holding us back. You have to be able to get the ropes off of your life. And you got to understand, the people that are brave enough to tell you are the people that love you the most. But if you won't let other people tell you, the Holy Spirit will tell you. And the truth of the matter is, He's been telling you about it for a long time. He's been speaking into your life and He's been saying, "This has got to go, this has got to go, this has got to go, this has got to go." And the thing about it, until you get it out, you're not going to get your destiny. You're not going to reach your assignment. Hey, I want to pray real quick. Bow your head, close your eyes. We're dismissing. If you're here tonight and you say, "Cricket, I know exactly what you're talking about. The Lord has been speaking to me about getting rid of certain friends. The Lord has been speaking to me about quitting certain things, Lord. And I'm making the decision. I know God can't use me to the fullest until I get the bondage out of my life." And you say, "Cricket, I've been trying to get this bondage out." I want you to know, if there's bondage in your life and you truly want free, you need to start telling somebody you want free from it, and people will help you get free. You're not going to get free on your own. The Holy Spirit pinpoints it, and then I'm telling you, the people that love you will help you get out of it. But if you're here tonight and you just want to say, "God, I'm sorry I've allowed this to stay in there. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to begin tonight to set me free." Simply raise your hand, put your hand right back down, and we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you that the people that raised their hand, I thank you that right now, you saw that. The Bible says you see the man's heart. You say, "Truly want to be free." I ask you right now, Lord, send the right disciples. Send the right people into their lives. Give them the ear to hear your voice. And you give them a plan and a path to be able to loose themselves so they can reach their destiny, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.